No contractor wants to hire felons to work on federal contracts, so they use background checks as part of the hiring process. But that can get you into hot water also. If the company policy ends up discriminating against people in legally protected categories, it's become a legal minefield thanks to EEOC and Labor Department policy. Joining me with more, attorney Kenneth Rosenberg, a partner at Fox Rothschild. Mr. Rosenberg, great to have you on.
Good morning, Tom. It's great to be here.
Tell us what is going on here. It seems like if you get a criminal background check result and you make your judgment on the person, it should be a straightforward process, but doesn't sound like it really is.
That's correct, Tom. Back in January 29, 2013, President Obama and U.S. Department of Labor issued a directive to federal contractors in which it stated that if a federal contractor is utilizing a background check to review applicants, that it had to perform an individualized assessment of the nature of the job, the nature of the crime that was committed, the duration of how long ago the crime was committed, as well as looking at whether the contractor can still employ that individual, notwithstanding the fact that the individual may have had a conviction at some point in his background.
So that means if, say, I'm doing background checks on 200 purple people and 200 green people, and the green people are the protected class here, if everyone who comes up in the purple category that's not protected, that has a criminal background, I can reject them out of hand. But what do I do if say, 25% of the green people come back positive? Then what's my next step?
Well, the issue is really treating everyone equally. So the scenario that you just proposed is a situation in which the contractor has a criminal background exclusion policy, which provides that if a person has a criminal offense or conviction in his background, that it's not going to hire the individual. In the instance where you have the application of that policy being applied in a manner that is applied only towards one group, meaning the non-minorities versus the non-minorities, then you can't apply that policy in a way that discriminately falls on one group and not the other.
Isn't it already illegal, and hasn't it been illegal for decades, to have employment policies that apply differently to different groups of people?
Absolutely. And that's one of the issues that the government was seeking to address when it issued the directive, the criminal background check directive. It wanted to, first of all, stop the disparate treatment of protected groups when a background check is used, and it also wanted to, more importantly, prevent instances where a policy might have a disparate impact on a protected group. For example, in your scenario, if the protected group was green and the non-protected group was purple, if the application of the criminal background check has the impact of adversely impacting only the protected group, the green individuals, then that would be a policy that the contractor could be sued for under a disparate impact theory.
Well, suppose the reality is that the protected group simply has greater numbers of people that come up positive in criminal background checks. And I guess you could take a group of people from, you know, at random, and that's going to happen. How does that become disparate impact versus the facts of what the background check showed?
If the protected group has a higher percentage of convictions as a class, that's, again, one of the reasons that this directive was issued, was to basically enable those convictions and those applicants who have convictions in their background to be examined on an individualized basis, so that the contractor is not automatically disqualifying the candidates simply based on the conviction without actually looking at the nature of the job that they're looking to fill. For example, is it a short order cook position versus a CFO position? And is the applicant an individual who has an embezzlement conviction in his background? The embezzlement charge may not have any application towards an individual who is applying for a short order cook position, but absolutely would have a significant impact and significant consequences potentially for an individual who's applying for a CFO position. So the objective of the directive is to require the contractors to spend more time examining the nature of the job that's being applied for, the nature of the conviction that the applicant might have, how long ago the conviction may have occurred. Is it an instance where the individual who has the conviction committed the crime 20 years ago, hasn't committed any new violations since then, and has he been rehabilitated? In which case, it may be perfectly acceptable to hire an individual with a conviction from a long time ago into a position if they've shown that they've rehabilitated themselves.
We're speaking with Ken Rosenberg. He's a partner at the law firm Fox Rothschild. So then, as a practical matter, you have to then treat applications that come back positive from the protected group differently from those in the non-protected group. All right, if they're a short order cook and you're hiring someone that embezzled, I guess you better count the eggs. But for the people that are in the protected group, would you also have the option of looking closely at those positives and saying, well, maybe this person really could be suitable?
Absolutely. You want to treat both the protected and the non-protected groups in a equal manner. So if your background check shows that an individual has conviction in their background, whether they're in the protected or non-protected group, you want to apply the same individualized assessment to determine whether they can perform the duties of the job and whether the conviction would have a relevant basis for disqualifying them.
If you went through all of these proper procedures and hired someone who had a conviction, but it didn't seem like it would matter in this particular job, is your company protected if that person then goes on to commit a felony that might affect the government under a contract or something connected to your company?
That's a great question. Unfortunately, the government directive does not provide insulation to a contractor for that possible outcome. There's no safe harbor for a contractor that hires a convict who then commits another criminal act while employed by it. So, the government didn't look that far ahead when it issued this directive.
So that could mean you have a legal out by saying, well, even though this person was impacted negatively by having the conviction in the past, that in some circumstances it might have looked as if they could be hired, but we felt that in the government context, because of X, Y, and Z connected with this federal contract, we didn't hire them after all.
I think, again, a contractor has to, perform this individualized assessment for each candidate and make a determination whether that individual in the position that they're hiring for could create some serious legal liability for the employer if they hired it, the candidate. So again, if you're looking at a position which has access to significant company funds or could potentially commit an act of bribery because they're dealing with government officials, then that would be a situation in which you probably would want to pass by an individual who has conviction in their background for a theft-related or embezzlement-related or other type of monetary crime versus a situation in which, for example, perhaps an individual was found guilty of manslaughter 20 years ago because they acted recklessly and someone's life was taken and they were criminally charged for that. In that situation, it may not be a relevant fact in determining whether to hire the individual for a particular position.
Sounds complicated, but it's something everyone's got to deal with. Kenneth Rosenberg is a partner at Fox Rothschild. Thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure.
You can read more and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.